So if you brought your Bibles, you're welcome to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 to look at a verse of Scripture there. And it's a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking about the good life, how to have it. And he has brought many disciples together, and he is teaching them these good life principles. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 5, it says, blessed, stop there for just a second. Last weekend, or weekend before last, we learned that that word blessed really isn't just happiness, but it really has the idea of divine favor, has the idea of honor. So let's just insert that concept into the text. Honored are the meek. Stop there. That's what we're going to talk about today. The concept of meekness, which is really unusual for our culture. We don't see biblical meekness very often. And when we do, we often see it as weakness. So just put that in your mind for a minute. Blessed or honored are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Notice the consequence or the result of meekness. This is a very important concept. It was important to Jesus. It's important. It should be important to you. So meekness could be translated in many different ways, but let me give you a couple words that might help you understand what it means. Meekness could be translated mild or calm or gentle. In fact, the best definition of meekness is the idea of power under control. So this is not a weakness. This simply is not a weakness. If you are meek, it is that you have all the power you need, but you only use it for the sake of the glory of God. So it is power under control. And it's something that is not modeled well. It's something that we don't see often. So when we do see it, it is phenomenal. It's transforming. The opposite of this word, although it's not an exact fit, the opposite of this word would be the concept of arrogance, self-confidence, instead of God confidence. If you take a bow when you hear thunder, you're probably not very meek. You want to know what I mean by that? So let's talk about what meekness is not for just a few minutes. Meekness is not weakness. Let's start there. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not insecurity or lack of self-esteem. It's not feeling poorly about yourself. It's not looking in the mirror and say, wow, I'm nobody. That's not what meekness is. Meekness is not indecisiveness of life. It is not that. Meekness is not simply being a really simply nice person. That's not what meekness is. What the Bible is talking about is a very powerful virtue. It is a very powerful thing when you begin to think about what biblical meekness is. Meekness would incorporate the slogan, strong enough to be gentle. Strong enough to be gentle. So when your life is not characterized by gentleness, you're not representing who Christ is. You're not representing who Christ is. Tozer, there's an old dead guy that wrote this one time, a long time ago, and this is what Tozer said. He says, the meek man is not a human mouse, afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. It's not that I'm worse than anybody sitting in the room. It's not that everybody else here is better than me. Meekness is the idea of passion under control. That's what it is. It is power and passion under control. Recently, I was in Florida on a vacation, and I noticed how friendly the people are in Florida because I was driving down the road, and nearly everybody, almost every day, people would drive by and honk, and then they'd wave at me. And then I'd do the same back to them because I thought that just how he expressed friendliness in Florida. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. But we are, would you agree that as a people group, we have never, as Americans, we have really never had the concept of, at least in our generation, the idea of meekness as exalted, as something to be sought after. In fact, just the opposite idea. We're taught we have to take the world, not let Jesus take it for us. And so this is a very important turning point, maybe, for your Christian experience. Maybe an epiphany. It's going to take place this morning, and I hope it does. It is a person who's angry at all the right times. That's what meekness is. It's a person who is angry at all the right times. Meekness is a controlled desire to see others' interests advance at the instead of your own. These are all ways to describe meekness. Meekness is this idea of having the power to do whatever I need to do, but the wisdom to know when to apply it. Meekness is used as in other contexts, like in secular Greek, it's used as a soothing medicine or a gentle breeze or an animal that is domesticated and housebroken for our benefit. It was the characteristic of Jesus Christ. Meekness is what set Jesus apart from all of the other religious leaders of his day. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, listen to these words about Jesus. And this is what he says about himself. He says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." Anybody here that is weary and carry heavy burdens? Well, you're invited to come to Jesus. He says, "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and meek at heart." You see that? I'm humble and meek at heart. So Jesus himself was this giant in meekness. Jesus is the ultimate example. He was offended only at that which offended his Father. When you think about Jesus' anger, Jesus was angry when he cleansed the temple, right? That's when he was angry. But the only time Jesus became angry, as you study all the New Testament, the only time Jesus became angry was not over self-exaltation. It was never because he was personally offended. It was always because something was happening that was offending his Father. Remember when he cleansed the temple? Why did he cleanse the temple? Why did Jesus go in and take a whip and drive people out? And why did he act in an angry way? And the answer to that question is because what was happening there was not offending necessarily him. It wasn't a personal offense to his life. It wasn't that they were jeering him or any of those things. It was that what was happening was an offense to his Father. It was an offense to his Father. So Jesus didn't take personal offenses. He just simply took those things which offended his Father. And so that is so in contrast to the culture that you and I live, right? Probably in contrast to how you live your own life in terms of how you get offended and how you get angry. And so this is pretty important stuff. And I'm just going to tell you, you cannot fulfill biblical meekness without the presence and power of the Holy Spirit inside of your life. Because Jesus is asking us to live like he lived. And for me to do that, because I am not the Son of God, because I am not God incarnate, and neither are you, just so you know, neither are you, because you are not, then you have to depend upon the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to live out what I'm asking you to live out. But what I want you to see is that what God is commanding here, what God is showing us, is that there is a way to live, another way to live the good life, and it has at the center core of it this idea of meekness. And Jesus says, honored is the man who is meek. He's going to honor you. He will honor you. When Jesus made this statement, it certainly ran against his times, because here's the reality. When Israel was looking for their Messiah, they were anticipating Messiah coming. They wanted Messiah to come, but their view of Messiah was different than what Jesus was. Because what they were looking for is someone to come and overthrow the Roman government and relieve them of all of their problems and thrust them out of slavery and into this new era. That's what they were looking for. So when Jesus came along, his words of meekness flew right in their face. The idea of his meekness flew right in their face, that he wasn't there to overthrow at that moment of time. Second time he comes is a different story, but he wasn't there the first time to do that. Is meekness one of those characteristics that you want to develop in your life? Let me ask you this question. If you wonder, we won't take a survey because we don't want to reveal anything bad here today, but let's talk about your boss for a minute. You don't mind if I talk about your boss for a second? When you show up to work, does your boss say, "Hey, the number one characteristic we want to have in your life is meekness"? I doubt it, right? They want you to, at any cost, normally, at any cost, to take the world for their sake. That's not who Jesus is, and that's not who you and I are. This idea of biblical meekness is so important. It's essential to so many things. So let me just share with you for a few minutes, excuse me, why it is essential. First of all, biblical meekness is essential to salvation. Cannot come to Christ without this sense of biblical meekness. Let me show you that in the Bible. Psalm 149, verse number 4 says this, "For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the meek with salvation." You see that? He crowns the meek with salvation. This is a pretty important element. It is essential to receiving anything from God, actually. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Seek the Lord, all you meek of the land. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility." So, are you getting the picture here that meekness is a pretty big theme in the Bible? And it's contrary to how you and I operate. There's a scene in the movie Gladiator, old classic movie, and this is so good. And the emperor of Rome, Marcus Aurelius, is asking a man in his kingdom, saying, "I don't want to give the kingdom to my son. I want to give the kingdom to you." So I want you to watch this, and I want you to see this guy's reaction. That's what made him qualified to be a ruler, is that he wasn't trying to take anything. He wasn't trying to take anything by force. He was just simply doing whatever was in front of him. You know, what's interesting is I've had the opportunity to study a lot of leaders. I'm a student of leadership. I love to watch how other people lead. And here's what I've noticed about good leaders. Good leaders never are people who take anything for themselves. Good leaders always just do what's in front of them. That's what makes them a good leader. Not because they are people that are striving for greatness or striving for riches. In fact, you know, the Bible teaches us that we're not to strive for riches. Did you know that? You and I, in our culture tells us that you and I, you know, that riches and wealth, all those things are things that you and I are to strive for. But the Bible says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You and I are to strive for righteousness, meekness. You and I are to put on the good life. You and I are to put on Jesus Christ and allow his Spirit to work in us and through us. And so, if I receive anything from the Lord, it's because God gives it to me, not because I have to take it. And that defines what biblical meekness is all about. Also, it is essential for receiving God's word. If you think about meekness, it's essential for receiving God's word. In James chapter 1, verse 21, here's what the Bible says: "In meekness, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your very souls." In meekness, receive the word of God that's implanted within you. So let me ask you this question. Has the word of God become a numbness in your life, or has it become something in your life where it's not real, it's not alive, it's not active, it's not doing the things that it once was? Maybe the issue isn't the Bible. In fact, it's not. Maybe the issue is that you're not receiving the word in the manner that you should. The Bible says here that you and I receive the word of God with a sense of meekness. You see that? This is so, what I want to show you today is this concept of meekness is all through the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. It's all through the Bible. It's so powerful. And it's essential for your witness of your faith. This is what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason, the hope that you have." And then it says, "But do this with meekness and respect." What draws people to Jesus isn't aggression, isn't obnoxiousness, isn't you taking them for Christ, winning them to Christ. What brings them to Christ is because they see Christ in you. And they come to you and they say, "You have something I don't have. You have something that I don't have, and I want what you have." And the Bible says when that happens, give them the word of God, give them the truth with a sense of meekness and respect for their lives. So my whole witness is wrapped around the idea of this biblical witness. If I want to be used of God to win people to Christ, I cannot do that without the sense of meekness in my life. So the question that I want to ask for just a few minutes is, and this is the million-dollar question, these are the questions we're going to ask that are making you a little uncomfortable. So what I want to do for just a few minutes is that I want to stop preaching and I just want to mess with you for a few minutes, okay? Is that okay? I'm going to do it anyway, so bear with me. So here we go. Let's just ask some questions. How do you know whether you're meek? How do you know whether meekness is on you? How do you know that you are modeling the concept of meekness in your life to others around you? Well, let me ask you a couple questions. Do you get angry and act easily? Or do you fly off the handle just like that? Your problem isn't anger, friends. Listen to me carefully. Your problem isn't that you have an anger problem. The issue is you have a meekness problem. And I'm going to just say honestly, I always speak honestly here today. Nobody in this room has arrived in meekness. We can't say, hey, look at that person. They are the meekest person ever. I'm just telling you, everybody in this room, everybody on this stage, I guess that would just be me. Everybody here today has one issue, and that is that we need the character of Christ in our life, and we don't gain that character by great performance. We gain it by seeking Christ, depending upon God, seeking the Holy Spirit, confessing our sins, asking God to produce certain things in our life. So I wonder how often we get on our knees and say, God, I don't want to go through my day without biblical meekness in my life. I want to be meek. My friends, listen carefully. Those are the kinds of things that God is waiting for us to pray, because he wants to answer those things. He wants to produce in you a meekness that is unbelievable, that others will take note of. It is so important. So do you get angry? Do you get angry like that? Another question is do you easily forgive? Meek people have this sense of urgency and knowing that when someone comes with genuine repentance, they have an easy time forgiving. Do you write people off? Meekness doesn't write people off. You can create boundaries without writing someone off. Do you respond by attacking? When you're criticized, are you quick to attack? Do you feel that you have a need to defend yourself? Meek people have no need to defend themselves. They have this power under control. And the truth is that we live in a highly critical culture, don't we? Everybody's criticizing. Everybody is, a Sunday afternoon armchair quarterback. Everybody knows how you should be living your life. Everybody knows what kind of messages I should be preaching here, Grace, and how I should be delivering them, right? And so the question is that when people give me feedback, am I willing to listen? Do I sit down, or do I have this necessary thing in my life that first thing I want to do is defend myself? I just want to ask you this question. How are you doing with biblical meekness in your life? I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how talented you are. The most important thing that you can develop in character is the ideas that are found in Matthew chapter 5. How are you doing with the concept of biblical meekness on you? Do people notice it about you? Do you strive for success at other people's expenses? An international student, Sam, enrolled at Taylor University. And he had one request when he went there. This is several years ago. He had one request. International student from a small country in Africa had one request, and they said, I want the room that no one else wants. Give me that room. That's biblical meekness. It's the idea of not striving, not taking, not of just reacting, giving, not taking. Biblical meekness. And so those are the kinds of things. So let me ask you a couple of questions. So it's raining today. Did you choose to park at the furthest parking space, or did you find the closest one? Oh, I'm just meddling now, right? Come on now. Let's talk about that. Smile at me when we talk about these things. These are important things. The services that are the most convenient, do you attend those services? Or do you find one that's least convenient to you? When someone has a burden, do you carry that burden with them, or are you just glad you don't carry it? And those are awesome questions for you and I to ask. If there's a kid who no one, speaking to students here today, if there's someone who at lunch has no one to eat with, are you that person that goes and eats with them? If there's hardship, struggle, are you willing to bear the other people's burdens? If there's a sacrifice someone needs to make, are you the first one to say, I'll make that sacrifice? That's biblical meekness. So I think I've thoroughly convicted nearly everybody in the room here. I've done my best to try to convict you that there needs to be some change in our life if you and I want to follow Jesus. Have I done that? Amen. How about the balconies? Have I done that for you all? All right, good. So with that in mind, let's talk about why. Let's talk about what's in it for me. I know I shouldn't. I know that meekness shouldn't be looking at what's in it for me, but I'm just going to tell you anyway what's in it for you. because I think that you need to be motivated and really understand what God, how God responds to the person who is meek. And it's not always an immediate response. Sometimes it's a long-term response. But let me just show you this. The Bible says this, the meek, these are powerful words, the meek shall inherit the earth. There's an inheritance. There's an inheritance. These words were recited from Psalm 37. Jesus is quoting a psalm here. He's quoting it out of the psalm. And every Jewish person, young person, would know exactly where Jesus is taking this verse because they had been catechized from early youth to understand Psalm 37. And so Psalm 37 is what Jesus is quoting. And he says, the meek shall inherit the earth. These words are powerful words. Now notice the word inherit. The meek shall inherit the word. It comes as a legacy. This is a legacy. It isn't something you earn. It's a legacy. It's a gift, a reward. God gives you a reward. If you take on the biblical characteristic of meekness by the divine power of the Holy Spirit in your life, God says that there is a reward that you have. And so it must be because the meek do not seize anything from themselves. Biblical meekness doesn't go out and seize. Biblical meekness waits on God, trusts in God. That's biblical meekness. They wait patiently for God's riches to be bestowed upon them. No matter whether it be in this life or the next, the person who is biblically meek waits for God to act on their behalf. There's always a calm assurance. There's always a sense that God is in control and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It doesn't always seem that way, though. Sometimes as you and I wait on God, it seems like all the bad guys are winning, right? All the bad guys are winning. But let me just simply say this. Those that bully themselves into the limelight and promote themselves at the expense of others always seem to be winners, but in the end, they're losers. They lose. So what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes. I want you to just listen to these words. I'm going to read to you Psalm 37. I'm going to read to you what Jesus quoted to his disciples. So listen to these words. I don't want you to be distracted. I just want you to listen to these words. Rest in the Lord. Notice the verbs. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing, for evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for Yahweh, they will inherit the land. That's the promise that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. You can look up for just a second. You can look up here. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, is that if I wait on God, if I don't be a self-promoter, if I let God fight my battles, if I just react to what's in front of me, do exactly what God wants me to do, if I just respond in obedience to him, if I do those things and I live with his passion and power under control, that the result of that will be is that he will step into my life and he will cause me an inheritance. So let's talk about that inheritance for just a few minutes. What is that inheritance? What does it mean? You shall inherit the land. There are two aspects to this inheritance. The first aspect of this inheritance is what I'm going to call an emotional inheritance. Now, what do I mean by that? The meek are not being constantly filled with anger and frustration and hostility. The meek are not frustrated with their lives. The meek are at peace. The meek are at peace internally. Doesn't matter what happens externally. Isn't that the good life? Isn't that what everyone wants, is to live at peace? I'm telling you, this is what money cannot buy this. Money cannot buy it. There's no way you can strive for it. The only way you can receive it is by faith, waiting on God, trusting in him, not fretting. That's the good life, my friend. There is an immediate reward for those who choose to live with this idea of biblical meekness. And it's an emotional peace that rests inside of your life that no one can take away from you because God and you are in control of that. And you're in control of it in the sense that you are trusting and waiting patiently for God. Can you think about, just think about this. You know, how many of you have ever worried about anything? Anything at all? Has it gotten you anywhere at all? Has it solved it? Or is it just created ulcers inside of your gut? I mean, it doesn't work, does it? The meek just wait patiently for God to work. That's the goal. That's the idea of this emotional inheritance. Then there's the physical inheritance that I want to talk about for just a few minutes. With the eternal perspective in mind, I can afford to be meek, right? With the eternal perspective in mind, I know that there's someday coming a payday. God is going to give me a payday. Jesus says he's coming back, and listen to these words, his reward is with him. In 21st century America, you hear very little about the second coming of Jesus Christ, but the truth is, my friends, there is more written about the second coming than the first coming. That's the hope. The hope is that God doesn't just leave this planet in a mess. He's coming back, and he says that his reward is with me. He has a reward for you, and he will give that reward at his return, and he will give it, listen to me, he will give it to those who are patiently waiting in meekness for him. That makes sense? This is so powerful. Many of the old hymns of the 18th century, 19th century, early 20th century were written around the idea of waiting on God, of God's delivering coming, of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Many of what was written before was written so powerfully and so amazingly. It is so good. I mean, it is so good. And even the songs that came out of black culture, 17th century, 18th century, 19th century, even early 20th century, were songs about deliverance. They were songs about the coming of Jesus to deliver his people from their strife and from their anguish. So there's coming today, listen to me very carefully, there's coming today a payday for you and I. A payday for you and I. And do you believe that? Do you believe there's a payday? Do you believe that if you were to develop biblical meekness in your life, if you were to wait patiently on God, if you were to do all those things, do you believe with all of your heart that God is going to come back and his reward is with him for you? Do you believe that? Then do you act that way? Do you live that way? Do people around you see that you are waiting on him, that you're waiting patiently for the things that God has? Here's what I want us to do. Let's all stand together. And there is a song, the most recorded song in the history of Christianity, is a song called I'll Fly Away. You know it? You heard it? I mean, most everybody that is still breathing has heard that song. I'll Fly Away is an amazing song about the deliverance that God has for you and I. But I want to remind you, listen to me carefully. This reward is given to the meek. The meek. That's what Jesus said. I'm not saying it, that's what Jesus said. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land.